Is the world coming to an end?
I think so. I can only access TikTok.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hello, peoples. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streamed live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. For a moment there, I had to ask, what?
You got this.
What are we doing? Where? Who? What?
That outage has her off her game.
Seriously. My name is Tom, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm in the studio with my amazing friends, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
Jay Bear.
And thank you all for joining us. This is The Dish. So we don't have a guest today, so we're going to be covering a lot of things that are happening in many different spaces, and we're super excited. But before we do that, we're going to jump into some of the things that we've done since we last seen you all. And so I'm going to toss it over to my bitches, and why don't we go to Jay first this week?
Okay,
we should, because Jay had an adventure. And I want you to tell us a little bit about your time away. You weren't here last week or the week before last.
Yep.
So what did you do? Tell us.
So I traveled to Arizona with my daughter, her cousin, and two other friends for Alexis, which is Roxanne's cousin, for her 25th birthday.
Nice.
I didn't realize she was that young.
Lord have mercy. Yeah.
So we hung out. We went to Phoenix and had a great time. We visited the Grand Canyon. We visited Red Rock Park. Did a little bit of ATVing. Shot some guns out in the open sun. A lot of drinking, a lot of hanging out, a lot of eating.
A lot of pool.
Some drag queens.
Yeah, we did a little bit of everything.
So let me ask you, you went out there. Did you guys rent a house?
We rented. Yeah, we did an Airbnb. This house was amazing, dude. I got to show you the pictures. But 5 bedrooms. Most of the bedrooms were either attached to a bathroom or had a shared bathroom. But there was enough bathrooms for everyone in the house. No problem. Fantastic. Had two like living room setups, one in the first floor, one in the second floor.
So if you like sort of central kind of air, like, I'm not feeling the group, you can just go sit in your own little corner.
You could find a corner to sit at, pool table. I mean, the whole nine yards.
That's awesome.
Beautiful in ground pool, jacuzzi, did a little skinny dipping
at night. Nice. With your family.
they know me. We're very open. We're very,
Progressive
around each other. I mean, it's nothing crazy. One of the nights, we had dinner. We were all hanging out at the house, and the first night they were like, "Oh, we're gonna jump in the jacuzzi," and like 2 hours later, nobody was in the jacuzzi. So I said, "Well, they're not getting in, so I'm gonna jump in naked. You know, take some time, relax. I had been traveling all day,
and before you know it, it's like seagulls drop a fry and they all
exactly
show up.
So." 10 minutes into my relaxation, everybody walks out the house. Hey, we're coming in. And I'm like, well, first of all,
I'm naked.
Be aware. Yeah. I'm naked.
And if they're like, feel something swimming around, it's me.
No, not at all. But, and the girls were like, you know, all right, cool. No problem. You know, no big deal. It's very adult.
You accidentally kick me in the nuts,
that was my worry. So I try to make sure I didn't.
He sat there the whole time.
Yeah, sat there. Just
hands in between his pants. Well, in between his nuts. Yeah. So.
I mean, he is all balls.
So. All balls,
And that's a thing. And I think.
Floating up. No.
Right. Oh, there he is. He's just, it's like a little bully. Yeah. No, but that's something that needs to really be talked about, right? Like we talk about, and especially in the Latino community, we talk about sexuality as something being so taboo and like not realizing that it really isn't, right?
I think it's as taboo as people want to make it.
Right.
Right. Again, you know, I'm hanging out with the girls. They were in the pool at some point taking pictures topless. You know, right. It wasn't like I was hovering over them.
No, no, no.
You know, they were doing their thing. I was doing my thing.
And it's sexual.
Yeah, and there was nothing sexual in that nature. We all had a good time. Everybody kind of did their own thing at some point, and we all got together and hung out. And a lot of the meals we cooked together, we shared, you know, a lot of the stuff. I made an amazing freaking lasagna.
I hate you because he does cook really good.
He's lasagna really good. Amazing.
Yeah,
he's a really good cook.
So I mean, it was great. It was nice to just kind of, for me, one thing is, especially since I have the grandkids at home all the time, right. I don't get the chance to kind of freeball it as much right. as I want to.
Did you put in for time off and get it approved?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
We're gonna have to call Elsie and HR and see. So
yeah, no. But it was great. We had a great time, you know, especially being able to just chill and have a good time and not worry about right. somebody's going to walk in and you got to run and find somewhere to cover up because they're going to be
yeah
feeling awkward about it. Everybody was, you know, time right. to get out of the hot tub. I was like, hey, give me that towel, you know.
Right. But that's what I'm talking about, yeah. right? Family or not, you know, it's like at this point you're all adults and it's nothing sexual. It's about just being liberated and being free to know that you're amongst people where you're comfortable doing that, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing sexual about it.
No, not
and
at
it's,
all.
It's a matter of just being you, being allowed to enjoy yourself and relax mm-hmm. and be free.
Absolutely.
I'll never forget one time I went to P-Town with some of my best friends, and I'm sure I've told this story on the show before, but we're all pretty comfortable with one another. I mean, to the extent where like people may or may not leave doors open yeah. when they're enjoying one another's company. And I was in the bathroom getting ready to go out, and I was not clothed, and two of my best friends like walked in behind me as I'm getting ready, and they just went and I'm like, what? What's wrong? What's going on? They were like, Nick, you have a bunny tail. We need to get rid of that. I have like a patch of hair like right above my butt. Like
right above the crack.
Yeah.
In that V area.
Exactly. And they yep. were like, it's gotta go. And they literally like pushed me against the wall. And
shaved
me. I don't think I've ever heard this before.
Oh my God. They like creamed me up and they shaved me. I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, they were getting you ready for when, you know, you yeah. were ready to sort of kind of go.
Urgh. For the rest of the night, yeah.
For the right. rest of the night.
That's yeah, that awesome. Was when I was a skinny little twink and the rest of the night was a good night.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And how are you? What's going on in your world?
This weekend, I was actually pretty lazy.
Which yes, she was.
Which was amazing. Sometimes you just need it, you know, like right. just to shut Absolutely. Out the world and just be lazy.
But lately, that's like every Saturday for you. You just like close yourself off to the world and you're like, whatever.
No, I've been coming over here almost every Saturday.
Really? Did yeah. you come here last Saturday?
Yeah.
This Saturday? No.
No.
The Saturday before last?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot.
Well,
I forgot.
But no, I don't know. I just no, like
she just snapped her fingers at me like bitch
but,
get with the
program. I do. I had a family member come in on Friday.
Nice.
And you know
which one?
It's fine.
Okay, it's fine.
And I have more family coming in on Wednesday, and they're going to be here for a week. So I think I needed to take that time for myself because.
It's
here
hard
they come.
Yeah, that's right.
Here they come.
Blessed are in
family
town.
Time, family time.
Brother's pregnant and everyone shows up.
That's awesome. But that's what basically what I was going to ask. So obviously people are traveling up because, you know, there's a mini bus it on the way.
Yeah.
And so watch everyone's out, excited.
Yeah.
Everyone's excited. Now, this would be the third grandchild for your parents? Third or fourth?
Fourth.
Okay, I would hope that you would know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I was actually counting them out because I know your older sister has two kids, right?
My older sister has two, and then my brother who passed away has one.
Gotcha.
Which okay. we will see all of them on Saturday.
Oh my God, so many bussets in one place.
Well, they're actually not bussets, but that's okay.
That's okay, whether they are or not, but related.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same thing. It's like, you know, pot of soup.
Yeah, my brother's son, we recently reconnected because we don't, like, he lives in Jersey with his mom. And, you know, ever since my brother passed away, it hasn't been.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. We're not as connected.
Yep, yep.
Right.
But he now has a phone and he can FaceTime, but he's got all these restrictions on it. Like, he can't. There's only certain people he can call. I'm one of the people.
How old is he?
He's got to be, so, he's got to be almost 10.
Oh, okay. Wow. That explains the restrictions. Okay.
Of course, yeah.
Love you, Mom. But yeah. Awesome.
Ever since we started talking over FaceTime, he started to realize that we look a lot alike, because I looked a lot like my oldest brother who passed. And so now he's like...
He's attached.
In a weird way, yeah. Right. I'm not in a weird way, but like...
You'll feel weird about it a little.
In an endearing way.
Yeah. Right. And he's adorable and... actually, I've never met him. I'm meeting him for the first time this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you excited? Are you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous. Excited, yeah.
I mean, you guys talked over...
Oh, yeah. Like, we've talked ever since, you know, he was little. He knows who I am. But, like, we've never had the opportunity to meet.
Well, I mean, and speaking of that, so it's fall in New England. Fall is officially here. So I just got to throw that out there. There's a lot of really cool things that you can do on weekends up here in the fall. You can go apple picking. You can go to some of the orchards and stuff. Do you think that, you know, maybe that would be something that you could share with your nephew?
I mean, maybe, but I feel like I'm going to be spending most of the weekend painting the nursery with my mother, because she pretty much said that that's what I'm going to be doing. So I think it's planned out. I mean, I think we do have, like, we're going to probably go to dinner or something like that.
You can bail out on her.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, we'll see. The weekend
is supposed to be gorgeous. So if you guys can do anything outdoors, definitely do it.
It's cardigan weather.
Yeah. And then you can take, you know, take all the apples that you pick and stuff, or all the stuff, you know, the pumpkin or whatever, and have Mom bake something.
She don't bake.
No.
No.
Okay. Never mind.
She can cook, but she don't bake.
That's awesome. But I'm glad that you'll have that opportunity to connect with your nephew in person. I think it's important.
Yeah. It'll be nice.
You can be yet another gunkle in a more physical way, right? Because it was always virtual between you and
I don't even know if he knows I'm gay, though.
And that's not important.
Yeah.
Well, all he needs to know is you're his uncle. Maybe later he'll find out you're the gunkle.
Oh, no, I'm the gunkle from day one.
Yeah, I know. Wow. Well, that's good. And I'm happy for you. It's important. It really is. You know, and especially because you get an opportunity to shape that child's upbringing in some way when it comes to exposure to LGBTQ plus peoples, right?
Oh God, I'm sorry.
Sorry, kid.
So, I mean, have you and his mother had conversation? Have you only spoken with him?
Oh no, we've talked. She's indirectly part of the family still. We keep in touch, but it's just not like...
So she's never told him about you being gay, or...
I don't know.
You're not sure?
I don't know. I never asked the question, but...
Gotcha. Right.
And at 10, really, I mean, if he's 10 or 11-ish, I'm sure they know. And he'll probably be like, oh, you know, when he gets back home, Ma, Uncle's a flamer.
Yeah, well, when Merrick, which is my oldest nephew, found out, he caught me kissing Matt. It was Thanksgiving. We were cooking in the kitchen, and I don't know, like, Matt was sitting on the counter, and I leaned over and I kissed him, and I turn around and Merrick, this little boy, is just like, oh, face wide, like, oh. And I, you know, like, yeah, like, ooh,
what did I, yeah, what Mom, did I just see?
Nick was kissing his friend Matt. And so I had to go have a conversation with him. And then years now, I mean, he's 20, and a couple of months ago, I brought it up to him, and he's like, yeah, I'll never forget that.
Because, I mean, I'll never forget that in a
not a bad way, right. Like, you know, like, it was an eye opening moment for him, right. And then, like, I had to have a conversation with him about it, so it was just like, you know, one of those moments you won't forget, because I had to sit him down and be like, you know, sometimes, you know, a guy loves a guy, and sometimes a girl loves a girl, and, you know, sometimes guys love women. It's all the same as long as you love each other and treat each other, you know, right. And I mean, it was an awkward conversation. I was young.
Right.
I mean, I think I was like 18 at the time. So,
oh my God, super young.
So, like,
super twinkie too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super twinkie. Yeah. Those are the days. Those are the days.
I know, you can eat everything you want and just poop and you're done.
Yeah.
It was gone.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Magical.
But yeah, no. So yeah, he said, I'll never forget it.
I'm excited. Not in a bad way. I'm excited. No, I'm excited for you. I think it's going to be good
I'll
for,
bring,
you, for
I'll you. Find somebody It'll and bring fun. Them with me and make yeah. out with them in the kitchen. Lord
have mercy. Break them in that way. This seems to be tradition.
Might as well just get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way. Yeah.
Well, for me, I'll tell you, I spent the better part of this weekend playing adult Legos, you know, destroying my kitchen, removing cabinets, taking them apart, and fixing the leak, finally. Replaced the entire, like, cast iron pipe with PVC. How did I do, Jay? You inspected my work.
You look good. It looks good.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. It's funny because he keeps saying he did it.
Yeah.
But we all know that I did all the piping.
In her dreams. No, but I was fortunate enough because the countertop, although it's very old and eventually it'll get replaced, I just don't have the money to redo my entire kitchen right now, was one piece. So we were able to just remove the entire countertop in one piece and then just take the sections of the cabinets that I needed to move out of the way to get to the piping that's in the wall. And we replaced it, put everything back. I ended up getting a new dishwasher because I had a small 18-inch one. And so now I got a full-size 24-inch.
She likes them big.
Yeah, I know. Well, and Nick walked in and was like, how the hell did you get that into the freaking counter? I'm like, I just shoved it in. He was like, did you use lube? I was like, yes, girl, we got this.
And then what happened?
And then he walked in today and he didn't realize, or at least he thought I was finished, and went to turn on the water in the sink. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing? And she freaked out. She was like, oh my God, I just damaged everything. She, like, literally, like, you could see her soul just dropping.
But,
and then I just started laughing.
But it was done.
But it was.
It was.
That's awesome.
Yeah, motherfucker.
No. But that's how I spent my weekend. But now I know that, you know, I don't have to worry about not being able to wash my dishes upstairs and have to drag all that stuff down here because of water coming down into my basement area. So, and it feels good. It's good. And it's done. And I probably saved myself like $3,500.
Easy.
Because if I were to hire a plumber to come do that shit, it probably would have cost me about that much. And aside from the expense of the new dishwasher, I probably spent like maybe not even $220 in supplies and materials. Wow.
I'm just glad you're doing all this because when I buy a house.
Right.
Handy homo.
Handy homo. Here I come.
1-800.
That's right.
Tom to the rescue.
I'll be nice to you.
I'll be nice to you.
So. Yeah, Tom, just put out on the gay talk card. I'll be here waiting. Yeah.
Okay. I'll be right over.
I'll be right over.
She's crazy. So that's our weekends and our past week in a nutshell. And, you know, I'm glad that we've all survived it. Fall is here. And it's going to start getting chilly. Mm-hmm. And the days are getting darker.
Yeah, put underwears on today.
You did? Yeah. Oh, those balls are getting a little cold now?
Yeah. I wasn't feeling it this morning.
You don't want inverted balls at this point.
Nah, at this point, I get an innie. It'll look like a sad turtle.
Oh, Lord have mercy. But happy fall, everyone. You know, it's now it's time for cardigans and sweaters. And
it's my favorite time of year.
And going Uggs. To some vineyards here and there and, you know, farms or whatever and picking up pumpkins and pumpkin pies and it's that season and before you know we'll blink and it'll be Christmas and
yep. I picked up some mums on the weekend as well. Yeah.
Mums the word.
And mums. Then Happy New Year.
Yep.
It's here before you know it.
What is it like 78 days till Christmas right now?
Yeah, oh my God.
Who's counting?
I don't know. Somebody put it on Facebook.
It shut down.
I think Facebook realized it was too close to Christmas and said, fuck this.
Yeah, it's back up though. Yeah. It's back up. All right, well, listen, we do have some stories, so we should get into some of the dish for this week. So would you like to kick it off, Trish? Because I think your story is so endearing and beautiful, and I think we...
Which
we
one?
Dad?
Oh, no, Sam? That's Jay.
Oh, that's Jay. Jay. Jay, yep. Jay. So, Jay, tell us a little bit about what... is being described in this story, which, by the way, was published on LGBTQNation.com. Yep. Set it up for us.
So, actually, I So I happen to be, you know me, I'm always sending you guys little posts and short films.
Some of which are from private groups that we can't access the posts, but okay.
You guys got to join. But one of them, one of them was a TikTok video of a dad that walks in on his son who's putting on makeup. Right. And, you know, in the video, as you watch it, you see that the son hears the dad's coming in and he shuts off all the lights around.
Oh my God.
On where he's sitting at so that the dad cannot see that he's actually got lashes on and has makeup on.
He had a full face on.
Full face on.
Right.
By the way, nails and the whole nine.
Right.
If you haven't really noticed it.
He looked good.
He looked good. Looked good. Girl was doing her thing. So I thought it was amazing video. You know, dad comes in. He's trying to talk to him. He asks him what he's doing. And he's like, oh, I'm just filming a video. But he's trying to, you know, avoid the conversation, not look directly at dad. And dad was quick-witted, caught on real quick what's going on. And, you know, the best part, you know, the dad tells him, come here, you know, let's talk. You know, if this is what you want to do, I'm okay with you doing this, which was amazing to see, especially on video. You can tell this is not one of these, you know, scripted TikToks.
Right.
You know, it's very genuine, very heartfelt. And on the video, the father tells him, you know, he's calling him Papa. So when you're like Latino families, Papa for us is not necessarily a nickname, but more of a term of endearment, like come here, dad, or come here, you know, come here, boo boo. Or, and he's telling him, you know, come here, Papa, let's talk. If this is what you want to do, I'm okay with you doing this. But if you're going to do it really well, which was even, you know, not only telling him, go ahead and do what you got to do and kind of like, to me, it wasn't like just saying it to say it. He was full on supportive.
No, you can tell. I mean, we're going to post the link to the TikTok on tonight's post. So if you want to, you can go on Gay Talk and click on that link and watch the video. It is in Spanish, but I believe there's subtitles.
Yeah, some of it has subtitles.
Some of it does. It's a very, very endearing video, and it really brings you... brings joy to see a Latino father, especially Latinos, because we're very machista in our culture, embrace his or embrace them, right? And say, whatever it is that you want to be, I'm okay. And if this is what you want to do, if this is what really like interests you, go for it. And it was beautiful.
It was video. The video has gotten 10.4 million views on TikTok so far.
I mean, it goes to show you though that, you know, when the father does come home and he's showing off all the lights, how, you know, the LGBTQ plus youth and other, you know, not just youth, we live in the shadows. This concept of the closet, it's so real.
Right.
It's so real. And then
and the fear
is real. I mean, like, all those lights shut off so quick, and he was like he was feeling reaction. Himself and you know, and then the father walks in, he's like, no, you turn on the lights, I want to see you for you. I want to let you see yourself and know that I still love you. And then when they hugged, and that was a long, long hug, I could see the kid come back to the TikTok video, and all I could see in his face was obviously a little bit of tears, but like, dad, you just fucked up my lashes.
But can you imagine that just... let it out, right?
That initial, to me, that initial impression coming from a Latino family, he was probably like, oh shit, this is gonna
I'm gonna get my ass beat.
Dad's gonna come in, he's gonna beat the lashes off my face. So the reaction, I mean, and you could tell, I mean, when you listen to it, even though you don't understand it, you could hear the monotone in the dad's voice, where it was more of a, come here, you know, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful video all in all. The way the father reacted, the way he addressed his son, you know, the way he made sure that he affirmed and, you know, and told him, you have my support, you know, as long as you're happy. And that's the main thing that I, you know, that I keep getting back from this is, as long as you're happy and you're doing something you like doing, I support it 100%.
So you know that feeling you get when you like, oh my God, someone came in they're going to see me, and you're all panicking and just crazy.
And yeah, you then, can see that initial
panic. Then at the end of the conversation, it ends up being totally the opposite of what you thought it was going to be, like how it was going to play out. And you exhale that, that exhaling that, oh, wow. Yeah. You know, I'm feeling that power coming from this video because I can literally feel it myself, how this child must have felt after that conversation.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's important to note in the article, it says that, you know, numerous studies have shown that familial support and acceptance creates greater self-esteem, improved mental health, less substance abuse, and less suicidal ideation among LGBTQ youth. It all starts with words of love, physical affection, and support. And I think that this, you know, video can be, you know, an uplifting moment for a lot of parents out there that are maybe struggling with, you know, if their son or daughter are acting a certain way, or if they are identifying in a different way. It's like,
If you don't know how to approach them, this is probably a good way to look at, you know, this is, it was as simple as just caring and showing you love for your child.
Yeah. And now that individual doesn't feel like, at least in front of his family, he needs to hide. He can be himself or they can be themselves. And so he will most likely feel more empowered to move on and surpass like this like scared, closeted, like.
Right. It emboldens someone to be able to be free, and especially, like, I've said this on the show before, but if we've got new listeners, you know, when I came out, I was 14 years old. And when my mother found out, because she didn't have a chance for me to tell her, my father told her, well, my sperm donor told her that I was, because I told him, because we were having an argument. He didn't want me to hang out with his brother. My father's brother is gay. Mm-hmm. And my uncle took me under his wing and showed me the community and told me this is what you got to look out for. You got to be safe. You know, if you're engaging someone sexually, he really had those tough conversations. And for someone who's partially deaf, it's amazing that I had that in my youth. He was the one that taught me about what AIDS was. He was the one that told me about what to look for, how to protect myself, who to stay away from, where not to go, and what not to do. And my father didn't want me hanging around with my uncle. And so we got into a really big argument over the phone because he basically said, you know, I'm hearing and people are telling me that you're hanging around with your uncle a lot, and I really don't want you to do that. And I'm like, why? And he says, because I just don't. And I'm like, but why? I want to know why. You're telling me I can't hang around with your own brother, who is my uncle, who loves me and nurtures me and takes care of me and brings me to McDonald's every time I want at McDonald's, or brings me to the water parks every time I wanted to go to the water park, or gave me my first driving lesson, things that you should have been doing, right? And he goes, well, you know, he goes into these places and hangs around with these types of people. I'm like, what type of people? Say it. I want you to say it. Is it that hard? Gay people. Are you afraid that I'm going to be gay? Is that why you don't want me to hang around with your brother? Are you telling me that, you know, that he's a bad person because he is? And I just turn around and I said, well, guess what? You know, here you are. You spent most of your life beating up on him and mistreating him because he was gay, because he simply just sucked dick and took it up the ass. Well, guess what? Me too. And that was it. He hung up with me, lost his shit, called my mother and told her. So I didn't have an opportunity to come out to my mother. So to see this, it really, really just brings a sense of like warmth to my heart, because that's not the experience I had.
Yeah.
As a child.
It's great to see that parents are a little bit more woke and accepting than in the past. Because,
it's a beautiful thing, you know. But the point I was going to make is that when my mother said to me, "I don't care who you are, you're my son, and I love you either way," that empowered me to become the person I am today, to be so secure in myself and so secure in my sexuality and my identity, and the rest was all up to me. Right. She gave me the power to go out into the world and be someone successful. And that's a beautiful thing. Absolutely. So thanks, Ma. Thanks, Mommy.
Thanks, Mommy.
So, well, we'll stay on the topic of feel good things. So Nick, I'll toss it over to you. Talk about university marching band. Tell us about it.
Yeah, sure. So I thought this was pretty cool. So a university marching band blows fans away with halftime show about support for the LGBTQ rights. So there is a group. It's called Spectrum, the Spectrum Center. And this was the 50th anniversary of the Spectrum Center, which was one of the first, if not the first, organization on a college campus to help support and provide services for LGBTQ plus staff, students, and general faculty through education, advocacy, and community building. So the point of this, you know, whole thing is the band had this beautiful halftime show, and it was literally celebrating the 50th anniversary. And they did this amazing show where they had different songs like Born This Way, mm-hmm. and there were a couple.
Thank you for being a friend. That's the theme song from the Golden Girls.
Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it was amazing. But I always find it amazing. I know marching bands are pretty cool, but the fact that they spelt out so clearly love wins, family, friend, Spectrum, which uh-huh. is the organization. And then on top of that, they did this whole display of hearts that came across the entire football field. And they did this at a football game, right. which, you know,
is one of the most like macho sports you can play uh-huh. in the U.S.
So I just thought, I mean, it wasn't the whole entire halftime show was about Spectrum and supporting the LGBTQ plus individuals within that university. And the announcer continued to say that over and over again. So I just thought the story was really beautiful and really powerful. And I thought, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. But it's just an uplifting, exciting story.
It is because you see, again, the theme. Over and over again, affirming someone's right to exist changes lives.
Yeah.
And it does so in such amazing ways. And to be able to do this in such a sport, right? Again, football, very manly, very, you know, let's beat each other down on the field and run with a football. You know, that's sort of kind of like egg shaped. It really opens up your mind and your eyes, especially if you're someone sitting in that crowd, about the possibilities of addressing your own biases and your own insecurities about members of the community mm-hmm. and how that could change your life. I can't tell you. I can only imagine how many people's lives changed that day as a result of that presentation.
Especially people at the university that either were a part of the community, not out. I mean, it just gives you like you feel safe in a space. Right. Like it's amazing. And talk about dedication. It took approximately 8 months to plan and execute this beautiful display of, you know, LGBTQ support. And they had hits from Lady Gaga, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, Sister Sledge, Kim Petras, Whitney Houston, Diana Ross, and so on and so forth. I mean, it was pretty cool and powerful. I would have loved to see that at my university,
right.
when I was the one like gay guy standing on the field
playing football. Or you felt like you were the only gay guy standing in the field yeah. at the point.
No, I mean, like, I was going to talk about when I was nominated for Homecoming King, but that's fine.
Yeah. That's crazy.
But yeah, it's awesome. And yeah,
you were named Homecoming King?
No, I was
or
like
queen?
There was like six couples and I was like the gay one. Of course I wasn't named Homecoming King.
Lord have mercy. I have a cute story on that later that we'll talk about. That's awesome though. That's awesome. So congratulations to the university. That video, we can also post a link to it on tonight's post so that you guys can watch it. It's cute to watch and just to listen to the music played in a band. By a band yes. of some popular songs that, you know, we're familiar with that we've already attributed to like being, you know, like those
anthems
for members of our communities is really cool and endearing. And you know, one more thing, I'll make a point on that. It's their ability as well to also pick music that crosses several
generations,
right? When you think about Lady Gaga, right? You think about people born in the last 20 years that can identify with such an artist who is amazing in her own right. But you also think about theme songs, for example, like the Golden Girls, so that, you know, you have us older gays can sort of kind of feel nostalgic about the fact that, you know, these are the type of shows that we grew up on or that we held dear to because of how they make us feel.
And the Golden Girls actually, you know, they were one of the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Pioneers or first?
Pioneers in gay rights. I mean, you have Blanche who didn't understand it, and there was a gay character in this one episode, and throughout the episode, she took the time to hear and learn from this character and realized that what she was involved in or the organization that she was involved in this episode, was not appropriate. And by the end of the show, she was like, fuck this shit. You know what I mean? Right.
And then there was Dorothy, who was so pro-gay. And then there was Sophia, who was like, I don't give a shit what you are. Are you cool? I'm cool.
I just want to make fun of my daughter.
Right. Like, I totally would have wished like I had a grandma like Sophia, because I think it would have been so much fun.
What's weird is that she was the youngest one of the women.
Right.
In the show, yeah.
Right. Estelle Getty. She was.
Cannot believe that.
And I think, so we lost Bea Arthur. We lost Estelle Getty. And Rue also passed away in the last 5 or 6 years. And Betty White. There's Betty. I can't tell you. So I have a friend of mine who every time an actor passes away, you know, she'll post about it, you know, and if it's whatever actor you grew up on and it's endearing to you, you know, she was like, oh my God, you know, I want to start your work, blah, blah, blah. But again, hashtag long live Betty White.
Yeah.
And it cracks me up because, you know, it's like you think about it and this woman is been in the limelight for decades and you can see her entire body of work and really get to enjoy her different phases. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for it.
Yeah,
and I love
St. Olaf.
Yeah, I know. One of my favorite characters that she played was Ryan Reynolds' grandmother in The Proposal.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was good.
I love that. She's dancing.
So you know, what is her name? She's in Harry Potter. She's an older lady. She plays McGonagall.
Oh, you're talking about Dame... oh, God. She was in my God, I can't believe.
Hold on.
I'm looking it up right now.
My God.
What's her name?
Oh my God. Maggie Smith.
Thank you, Maggie Smith. Yes, so Maggie Smith reminds me of Betty White because she's still kicking, but let's just roll it back a few years. Remember Peter Pan with Robin Williams?
Yes.
She was old in that movie.
Yes.
And that was in the 80s or not, or late 80s, early 90s. And that bitch is still kicking doing Harry Potter. Like, how the fuck?
I mean, she was also in Downton Abbey, and she did like 8 seasons of that
and
while she was
so
working.
Amazing.
Yes, she is. Yes, she
but
is.
But I'm like, she was old in that. How the hell?
Right.
She's still and kicking.
Another actress, believe it or not, I mean, Diana Rigg was amazing. So Diana Rigg was who played Olenna Tyrell in Game of Thrones. Had the baddest lines. There were like two liners, but they were the best. And her
is that
death,
the one that she got poisoned?
Yeah, she poisons herself.
Yeah.
I mean,
she poisons him, and then
she takes the poison and then tells him what she did to her son, his son.
Yeah,
and Cersei, and says, and literally looks at him and says, "Tell Cersei it was me. I want her to know." I was like, "Fabulous way to go." and she some died. I would say months later. Unfortunately, but another great British actress who is just absolutely amazing, and I love a lot of the work that she does, is Dame Judi Dench.
Oh yeah,
she's incredible.
I've seen her actually. I watch a lot of you know, me and YouTube, Graham Norton, Graham Norton show. So I watch a lot of the snippets from that. The show,
you know, they have it on BBC America, right? Every Friday.
Yeah. So I watch it a lot. I like to, you know, watch specific episodes sometimes, but she's been on a few episodes and she's
a hoot.
She's he calls people out.
He does. Oh yes, he does.
Oh my God, he's like he's got that little TV and he pulls shit out.
Yes.
And you're like, and they're like,
yeah, he's like, weren't you in love with like just throwing people?
Can you tell me what this headshot is about?
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's a really good host. His show is very funny, and he's actually one of the biggest shows in the UK.
Yeah,
when it comes to like, it's like he's like the equivalent of our like David Letterman or Jay Leno, but much funnier because he no balls. He doesn't care. Yeah. He just goes out and does it. Yeah, that's cool. That's
amazing.
That's awesome. So we're going to keep rolling along. We're not taking a break today. So we're just going to keep talking about some of the stories, some of the feel-good things that are happening in the world.
I got something for you guys that I just kind of ran into, and I'm not sure if you guys are aware.
Well, do tell.
Playboy just featured its very first gay cover model.
Really?
Bretman Rock. He's...
Oh, yeah. It's a Playboy bunny, but that's awesome.
Yep. And so he's the first gay man to grace the cover of Playboy magazine.
Imagine that. Yep. Actually, I don't think he was, because I think Hugh Hefner was gay in some way, shape, or form. And he's been on that.
I mean, it was his publication, for God's sakes.
You know who that reminds me of?
So he's a social media influencer.
Billy Porter? No.
Tony.
Stop.
Maybe a little.
A little. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's awesome.
So I guess he's a social media influencer, and he's become the first gay man to grace the cover of Playboy magazine featured, I guess you could say, right? So he rose to fame from his makeup tutorials on YouTube, and Playboy's October digital cover has star has launched his beauty line.
I guess so this little young boy and the father reaffirming his right to exist
this is
could
what
lead
means.
To success. And that is the point that we've been talking about through all of this. That's amazing.
Yep. So
it's amazing.
It just kind of popped up when we were talking about that other article, but we switched subjects and I was like, I got to bring this up definitely because it's also, you know, this is what can happen.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. So I want to go back to homecoming. For you, especially, right? Yeah, like you weren't crowned king or queen, or none of
depends
both.
Depends on how you look at it.
But we have to think about, you know, some of the amazing things that are happening. There's a lot of amazing things happening in the trans space, and I'm all for it. There's a lot of great news and amazing things as a result of, you know, some people just having the courage to be and live their true selves. And so I wanted to go to Florida. I believe it's in the Orlando area, but there's a trans student. Her name was Evan Bialasuknia, and she makes history as her school's first trans homecoming queen. For the first time in Olympia High School history, the school actually elected an out trans student as their homecoming queen. And I think it is amazing because it just really shows you that, you know, it is possible as long as you are true to who you are and stick to what you believe is right. You know, and she made history. She wrote on Instagram earlier that week alongside the caption, the 70-year-old posted a series of her with her sash title, titling her as part of the homecoming court of 2021, as well as her crown for being selected as queen beside her homecoming king, which I thought was awesome. And further on in the story, as I kept reading about, you know, her amazing journey to being crowned homecoming queen, there was another story.
She's pretty.
Yeah. She did a really good job. Yeah. Her dress was gorgeous. She looked amazing.
She was killing it.
Right. But in 2019, there was another non-conforming high school student, senior, who was crowned queen at Clovis East High School that same year. A photo of another teen, and this name sounds weird, White Station High School, went viral after being named homecoming royalty. That particular school, White Station High School, actually instituted gender neutral titles the prior year for their court. And so the reason why I bring this up, one, because it's a trans woman and it is amazing to see acceptance and progress, and especially in a place like Florida. where everything is just ass backwards. I mean, you've got alligators eating alligators.
Yeah.
It's bad. there's a cannibal alligator. Weren't you the one telling me about that?
There's a few of them. Oh, but Lord. That's very normal, actually, amongst alligators, believe it or not.
Alligators eating alligators.
It's bad. No, but it's great because, again, it's affirming someone's right to exist, and it's really, truly transformative and life-changing. But the fact that, you know, 2 years before that, another school actually goes through the whole process of identifying the importance of gender pronouns, for example, or being neutral, and coming up with neutral titles in support of students that may not identify as either or, mm-hmm. I think is huge.
Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing. And I congratulations to her, because first and foremost, she deserves it. And for the school, bravo.
You know, I love that they quoted her as she stated, it made me feel like I actually belonged.
Right. So that's beautiful.
Yeah. Amazing. And you know, again, showing support, showing, you know, that this stuff is actually something that should be happening all along.
Right.
It shouldn't be, you know, just out of Florida.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I mean, we need to see a lot more of this.
Right. I mean, and she even said it, you know, looking back, it doesn't even feel that's me, the teenager wrote or told the local news network. She began her transition earlier that year at the Orlando school. She had played football for like 6 to 8 years. And I remember during practices, I would stare at the cheerleaders because I wanted to be with them. Not necessarily like in that way. She wanted to probably be mm-hmm. a cheerleader instead of playing with a stupid ball on the field, which I'm sure you could probably share in that. Like, did you ever want to be a cheerleader? I mean, you were a cheerleader whether you wanted it or not.
I mean, I did do powder puff football and did a whole cheer, but no, I liked playing football.
Powder puff football?
Yeah.
Explain.
Powder puff football, at least for my school, is when the juniors and the seniors flip flop. So varsity team cheerlead, the men that are the football players cheerlead, and the cheerleaders play football. Vice versa for the juniors on the non varsity team. And so there's a football game against the women, and the men do the cheerleading.
Oh,
it's okay.
What was it called again?
Powder puff football.
Okay. Powder
that,
puff.
That was something out of your school then.
Yeah,
and it's not something that it's done.
We had a lot of fun, and we like put together whole routine, and I'll never forget this little, this might be insensitive, but one of the parts of our routine, the guys, there was this little Asian guy, his name was Mark. He was the best, but he was so teeny, and these are all, you know, we're all pretty big guys. We're football players, and we did a basket toss, and you were a twin fan.
You weren't big.
No, I was pretty.
Oh, look at her.
But we threw him in the air. And, you know, we're not trained or anything, right. But he went so high, and all you can hear is everybody just gasp because he goes up and then it starts arcing. Like, he's not coming straight down. And the whole group just like moves with him and catches him, and everybody's like, oh, my God.
I would have died. That's awesome, though. So powder puff football.
Powder puff football, yeah. I not to, you know, claim bragging rights, but my brother and sister were the year above me. So my junior year, they were seniors, and we beat them. And then the juniors did not beat us when we played. So I'm just saying.
Oh, well, you better work, Miss Stein. Uh-huh. She was fierce. All right. Well, sticking on team.
Well, actually, since you guys keep throwing curveballs and like bring up articles that are not in the notes, I'm going to bring one up.
They're in the notes. Both of my stories were in the notes.
Okay, well, it did not update for me.
Okay, so
the Playboy was the only thing that
was. So I don't know if I've ever talked about this book before, but Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Is it in the notes?
No, it's a curveball.
Oh, it's a curveball.
Yeah. Okay. So Red, White, and Royal Blue is it's a lovely story about the first Hispanic female president, and her first family.
And what country?
America.
Oh, this is a fictional book.
Yeah, fictional. Okay. And it's also like, about one of the princes of Europe, England.
Right.
And their rivals in this book. Obviously they end up falling in love and I love the book and it's amazing and I've listened to it like three times. But that being said, it just got approved for an Amazon film.
Right. They greenlit it for a screen. What do they call that when you
screenplay?
No. So they call it an adaptation, right? From book to film.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to adapt it for film.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was it.
And let me tell you, Amazon is killing it, by the way, with a lot of the LGBTQ plus content that they're putting out. I think it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And it has the same director from Love, Simon, which is, he did great. I love that movie. So it should be fun.
Right.
I'm excited about it.
And, you know, I figured maybe we can just talk a little bit about something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We had mentioned the Amazon Prime movie. Jamie, remember that?
Yes.
Like two episodes ago.
I didn't watch it though.
I did. And so I, again, want to, in it was life. It was really great. I really loved the fact that, you know, they came up with this. So it's called Everyone's Talking About Jamie, which celebrates drag and queer realness. The mother. I fucking love that woman. The mother was life. And so, you know, I think if you get a chance, definitely watch it. It was great. And you'll be happily surprised on how the character develops from the beginning of the film all the way through the end and watching Jamie go through that transition. And you got to understand that this was also a play that was adapted for film. And it's awesome. So if you get a chance, watch it. Watch
Gotta check it out, definitely.
We have time for one more story before we start bringing things home.
Don't make me do it.
Yeah, let's end it on a very. This is also good news. Let's talk about the walkout.
Okay. Yeah. So students stage a massive walkout after a trans girl was blocked from the locker room. So this took place surprisingly. In Texas.
Uh-huh. Well, not surprisingly.
Well, but, I mean...
Wait, surprisingly.
That she had the students rally behind her.
Right.
So a transgender student was allegedly blocked from using the locker room at a Texas high school, and her classmates rallied for her, organizing a walkout and protest in support of transgender equality last Wednesday morning. Now... during this, obviously it's being filmed, it's being put on Instagram, social media, and all that stuff. And you can hear all the students cheering, there are rainbow flags, there are transgender flags that are being waved, and all you hear in the background are teachers yelling, go back to class.
You suck. But the kids didn't care.
No, they stood up and they protested, which is amazing, but the fact that the teachers weren't standing up and supporting the students' protest pisses me off.
And here's the thing with that, and I'm glad that we're going to talk about this a little bit. What pisses me off even more is the fact that that could have been a teaching moment for all those teachers to support students.
Grab a flag and stand next to the fucking students.
And support their right to a peaceful protest, because although this is them being defiant and not going back to class, it's for a very, very genuinely real reason. And as an educator, when you take it upon yourself to ignore the importance of the moment and try to take control of the situation and make students do something they don't want to do because they're literally standing up for someone else, you're missing an opportunity to educate an entire gymnasium full of students on the process of being able to protest peacefully and exercise your right to do so.
Yeah, and on top of that, I do believe in gender-neutral bathrooms and or locker rooms, but this school has adopted a policy which another school in Virginia had been sued for, where they allow transgender students to use a gender-neutral bathroom or a gender-neutral locker room, but they can't use the room that they identify as. So, they have a locker room or they have a space in which they can change, but it's not the space at which they identify. Now, some people in the trans community or some people in general who may identify as non-binary or whatnot may prefer the gender, you know, neutral bathroom. But if you identify as a woman and you want to use the woman's restroom and or locker room, you should have every right to.
Right. Because, I mean, if you are going through that process of just being an individual who you want to be and how you want to look, and you, for all intents and purposes, want to be, you know, a woman, and you're doing things to actively make yourself look like that, what do you think is going to happen when someone who is now presenting as a woman walks into a male's room, male's bathroom or locker room?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what's interesting is I think, like, in a situation like this, if they have outwardly identified as trans, they probably wouldn't be allowed in either.
Right. I mean, you have gender neutral bathrooms, but if, like you said, if you are going through the process of transitioning or starting to explore the fact that you are trans and you want and you are identifying as a woman and you want to go to the woman's restroom, you should be allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. And the fact that, you know, they're saying, no, we've already had cases all over the U.S. In where, time and time again, they're trying to ban these things from happening. But in the end, courts are ruling in favor of these individuals that are going through this process and bravely going and fighting the whole, you know, court process to get their rights to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And to identify and be and reaffirm who they are as a person.
And the school, the same policy also forces transgender individuals to dress according to the dress code and identify with their legal surname. So they have to, if they are born male and identify as female, they have to dress as though they are male. Yeah. Right. And identify with the name they were given at birth, which, for lack of a better term, is generally called their dead name, right?
Right.
Correct. So right. The school is forcing them to indirectly damage themselves by, you know, not identifying with who they believe they are.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm a big YouTuber but on Netflix there's a TV show called Sex Education. It's out of the UK, and then I've been binging, and it's basically, it's a high school setting, and it's based on those children in the school. And the episode I watched last night, the last episode, was about one of the characters who actually, for some reason, isn't from the area. She migrated from, like, Minnesota to the UK, and she's attending school, and she identifies as non-binary. And there's this whole saga going on with the school trying to make her wear specific uniforms to the gender. And she's like, well, I don't identify as a female and I don't identify as a male. Why are you making me wear X, either Y, and or. Z? Yeah, yeah, either or. I should be able to dress how I feel appropriate.
Right.
Which is kind of good, because now I'm kind of hooked on this, because I want to see what the outcome is, you know?
Yeah.
No. But it's, you know, we fail to see that this is exactly the same thing that's happening with our kids nowadays as well. And we need to be more supportive and be more aware of what's going on, especially with people that have kids in school.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a good dish today.
Yeah.
Y'all think so? I think so. I'm excited, but I do want tacos, which means we have to wrap up because I'm hungry.
And I gotta use the lavatory.
Yeah, so she hasn't. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap things up. This is why we didn't take a break, so that we can create a show for you guys and then head out, and because I want tacos. So I'm gonna toss it over to Trish so that we can jump into Mama Kim's minute, but I do have to give her some love first.
Thank you. All right, everybody, here's Mama Kim's minute. Number one, students sue school that banned Pride flag for discriminating against LGBTQ club. Number two, queer rights are reproductive rights and repro rights are queer rights. Number three, meet Gay Bob, the 1977 doll that urged people to come out of the closet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I got to read that story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, damn. Okay.
On this day in gay history?
Take it away.
Alrighty then. So first openly gay member elected to the Bundestag? Bundestag?
Where's Chris?
Well, where's Chris? Yeah. Bundestag.
I think that's right.
Bundestag. We butchered that really bad, Chris. Sorry. Well, where? Germany. The date, October 4th, 1985. Herbert Rösch, a member of the Green Party, serves for 2 years in the German parliamentary.
Parliamentary.
He had co-founded the first gay organization in Heidelberg in 1972, Homo Heidelbergensis, I believe.
Heidelbergensis. Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
so. Bundestag.
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 Okay. Ready for it? Hold on.
Bundestag.
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 Where's Chris Bundestag. When you need him? He probably would have fucked it up anyway. Oh my God, that's too funny. Speaking of Germany, I think they also elected their first two trans women to their parliament recently, which is also very historic for that country. So congratulations to them. And once again, I want to thank you all for joining us today. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser as soon as our episodes are published, or even your favorite device for that matter. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Jay?
Next week, we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. We may or may not be having a guest over. We don't know yet, but we will definitely be on the grill.
That's right. We'll be putting some meat somewhere.
Some meat will be going on the grill.
All right.
We didn't have a guest, so thank you to you guys for coming prepared today.
Yeah, I know. We rocked it.
Was looking forward to talk to Dr. G about his new pills.
I told him that we will.
Yes.
I think we're working on getting good. Him. They're, yeah, I mean, you amazing. Guys evidently have been having really good bowel movements. Girl, so.
Light on my feet.
Light as a feather. Light as a feather.
That's awesome. Yep. All right. Well, now here's Nick with a weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep their buttholes on point. Yes, we are talking about Future Method and all of the amazing products that they have now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you some love. Take it away.
Thank you. Get the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury or STDs. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. Visit futuremethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum cleanser or prebiotic today.
Yes, queen.
It's time to put a ring on it.
Let's put a ring on it. Who's getting married?
Oh, that's not the type of ring he's talking about.
Okay. Uva ring?
Cock.
Cock ring.
Cock ring. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Metal, silicone, I don't know, whatever you like. Steel.
Rubber. Who knows?
Rubber.
Leather.
And our show is available on our website.
Your hair's caught in that shit.
And what?
In the rubber ones.
It happens.
I know. Just
that's why you that's why you trim it down, girl.
Oh my God.
That's why you trim it down. But our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
I love it.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter at Gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gaytalk20.com. Tom, get them tacos.
Yes. If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to the restaurant down the street where we will be stuffing our faces with tacos. No, I'm sorry. I'm kidding. You can contact us by visiting our website, gaytalk20.com. Just go to the top of the web browser, click on contact us, and you'll be able to leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Bow, 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 bow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.